If you want to support the show, you can go to mwpnews.com/support, where you can pick up my latest book, Succession Planning, and all my other books that have previously been released on Kindle for only $2.99 each. Thank you. Good morning and welcome to 30 Minute Reviews. I am Adam. This week, CinemaCon. CinemaCon was last week, so that's going to be taking up a good amount of our time and content this week. If you want to hear about the coverage for the Joker trailer, I did do an episode about that. It should be the previous one on the feed, where I talk about my thoughts going into the Joker trailer. And I think we're also going to talk about Con this week. We have our list of movies from Con. So let's get into what we're going to be doing this week and other podcasts. Today in the evening, we'll be covering The Sympathizer Episode 1. That is the new TV show on HBO with Robert Downey Jr. Tomorrow on The Backlog Files, we'll be covering Pokemon Coliseum. On Thursday in the morning, we'll be covering The Bad Batch Season 3 Episode 13 on Beware of Spoilers. In the evening, we'll be covering The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. On the 19th in the morning, we'll be covering X-Men 97 on Beware of Spoilers. On the 20th in the morning, we'll be covering Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver. And on Sunday of next week, we'll be covering, or Sunday, coming Sunday, we'll be covering The Girls on the Bus Episode 7. As always, go to MWP News and look at the feed for this. You can catch more information about that. We'll also be working in an episode about Fallout somewhere in there, undecided when. Let's go into our new segment, Winners from the Indie Space, where we talk about some of the big winners from independent film, or some smaller film festivals and larger ones. This week was the end of the Annapolis Film Festival in Annapolis, Maryland, and the Overlook Film Festival in New Orleans. Now, the Cleveland Film Festival did end this weekend as well. We'll cover that next week because I write this up on Saturday to record Sunday. Film Festival ended on Saturday, so there was no list of winners out yet. So we'll cover that next week. At the Annapolis Film Festival, Fresh Kills from Jennifer Esposito of CBS's Blue Bloods won Best Feature. This is her writing and directing debut. It is about a young woman who discovers that her father is an emerging mafia kingpin in 1980s Staten Island. Best Documentary Feature went to Medea, which is a documentary about a teenage Yazidi girl who attempts to rebuild her life with her brothers following years of enslavement at the hands of ISIS. Best Short Film, also won the Audience Award for Best Short Film in the same festival, Camping in Paradise, which is a Norwegian film about a philosopher and his girlfriend who are forced to spend the night at the nudist camp, which they are very uncomfortable with as when their car breaks down. And Best Documentary Short went to The Test, which is about a Ghanaian immigrant who prepares to take the United States citizenship test. The Audience Award for Best Feature went to Suze, which is Michaela Watkins' new movie. She plays an empty nester who is in an unlikely maternal relationship with her daughter's ex-boyfriend. Best Documentary Feature, the Audience Award went to Call Me Dancer, which is a documentary following a break dancer from India named Manesh, who is mentored by a 70-year-old ballet master from Israel. And the Audience Award for Best Documentary Short went to You Will Not Replace Us, which proposes ideas on how the Black and Jewish communities can come together to support each other in the rising tide of hate. And as I said, best short film in the Audience Award went to Camping in Paradise as well. At the Overlook Film Festival, now from what I could gather, there is no competition that was posted on their website. There was a number of high-profile projects in attendance, including Abigail, which will be opening this week, coming up, Cuckoo, which stars Hunter Schafer, and I saw The TV Glow, which is an A24 movie that's getting a lot of positive attention. This year also had a number of restoration anniversary screenings, including a 3D edition of The Creature from the Black Lagoon from 1954, a 10th anniversary screening of Oculus starring Karen Gillan, the Italian film The Beyond from 1981, 1974's Phantom of the Paradise, and a 100th anniversary screening of Hands of Orlok, which stars Conrad Veidt from The Man Who Laughs. He's a silent era horror icon, and this was done with a live orchestral score. that movie is pretty interesting because I read the description. I've never seen it, but it's about a pianist who gets his hands replaced with that of a murderer, and the hands do things. Sunday marked the end of the Phoenix Film Festival as well, and we'll be talking about that next week. This week at the box office, Civil War took home the number one spot, followed with 25.7 million, followed by Godzilla and Kong: The New Empire with 15.4 million. Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire stayed at number three with 5.8 million. Kung Fu Panda 4, I think it went down from last week with 5.5 million, and Dune comes back into the top five with 4.3 million. Biggest surprise week to week is that Monkey Man has fallen all the way out of the top five down to number six after its opening weekend. And also of note, Cabrini, which we'll talk more about Angel Studios in a little bit, was said by Angel to be performing strongly, but it is not listed at all. Last week, it only posted $280,000 for a total of $18 million in its total theatrical run so far on a $50 million budget. Okay, so what's next? Coming to theaters this week, we have a return to theaters for Spider-Man from 2002 as part of a multi-week quest to offset some of their losses from earlier this year and their impending losses from the Sony universe of Marvel characters coming down the line later in the year. Guy Ritchie's historical action film, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, will be hitting theaters this week. Stars Henry Cavill, Alan Rickson, Eliza Gonzalez, and Henry Golding, in a film about the first modern Black Ops mission during World War II to destabilize military positions in Nazi-occupied Europe. And also, Abigail will be opening, directed by the team behind the last two Scream movies and Ready or Not. They reunite with Melissa Barrera in a horror movie about a group of criminals who abduct a 12-year-old girl who, as it turns out, is actually a vampire. Coming to physical media this week, we have only one major release, and that will be Amazon's Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan, which arrives on DVD and 4K Blu-ray this Tuesday. So if you're interested in that, pick that up. Okay, now to the CinemaCon news. I wanted to get all that out of the way. So I figured the best way to handle CinemaCon, and for those who don't know what CinemaCon is, it is the big annual event where the studios and the distributors come together with NATO, being the North American Theater Owners Association, National Association of Theater Owners, not the Military Alliance, to pitch what's coming out later down the line. And by later down the line, I mean usually between now and next year's show. Because next year there'll be more. So what I figured would be the best way to handle it would be to rank the presentations from the major studios. Now, A24 didn't come, and I don't really count A24 because they've started producing more of their own content, but I don't see them in a position where they're going to be coming to a presentation like this and being like, hey, so let's, talk about that, because a lot of their really big movies end up coming more from buys at festivals. They're a distributor. As of right now, they're more of a distributor than they are a producer of studio films, so I omitted them. So we have seven studios we're going to talk about. Number seven, Sony. Sony didn't even show up. They did not have any presentation. I think that they co-signed the State of the Industry thing that Crunchyroll did, because Crunchyroll, I think, is owned by Sony. And I think this is a very bad sign for Sony. Sony has had two massive bombs this year. Madam Web was not great, and Ghostbusters Frozen Empire was not great. They have a large amount of movies still coming down the line this year. Bad Boys Ride or Die, Venom the Last Dance, Harold and the Purple Crayon, The Garfield Movie, The Karate Kid, Kraven the Hunter. These are all major, major movies for them, and if they're not bringing this to show off, that's something that's deeply concerning to me as someone who's watching as an outsider. Like, considering especially that Kraven was delayed by a full year, why wouldn't you bring that to show it off? And their 2025 slate is basically empty. All they have so far slated is Paddington in Peru and potentially Beyond the Spider-Verse. And that's a big potentially because they haven't officially dated that yet. So it's a big problem for Sony to not have that locked down. And the fact that they didn't even come this year is a problem. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that, like, they don't have clear paths for a lot of these franchises. Like, what do you do with their Spider-Man adjacent movies? Like, if they're not ready to make an announcement regarding Spider-Man 4, be it either a continuation of the Raimi movies or the next one with Tom Holland, what's the point of coming? And that would have been the big headline had they showed up. It's like, well, why are they talking about Spider-Man 4? And it's, they don't have anyone attached to it besides Tom Holland and Zendaya. So, I see why they sat out. I don't think it's a good look for them, though. Especially considering how many movies they have on their slate this year. And what the lion's share of movies is for the theatrical slate for the back half of 2024. And how a lot of that comes down to Sony. Number six, Angel Studios, which is a fairly newcomer, but you've probably heard of Sound of Freedom. We've talked about it on the show. That was the movie that was the QAnon movie that got a lot of attention because it made like $250 million at the box office. And no one really saw the movie because they have this pay it forward campaign. Why Angel Studios is higher than Sony is A, they showed up, and B, a lot of times their movies are reasonably low budget. So they will make back the budget because they're dealing with a niche market. Yeah, they had the QAnon movie, but by and large, they make faith-based films, which are going to appeal specifically to, you know, that audience, and that audience will show up. There's something worth noting, though. The biggest part of their announcement is they're doing their first theatrical-length animated film. They're doing an animated musical version of the story of David and Goliath. It's slated for release the week before Thanksgiving. November 21st of 2025, putting it directly up against Zootopia 2. It's not subtle what's going on here. I looked at the budget because they publicly report all their stuff because you could invest in it as an outsider. The budget is purported to be $60 million. It's their highest budget movie to date. Considering that the other animated projects they've done have not had massive budgets, and I'm not anticipating them putting more than $10 million into this movie being made competently on a visual standpoint, I see this being about $50 million that's going directly into the Pay It Forward campaign thing. This will give it a $50 million opening weekend, assuming not a single seat gets sold otherwise. The point of this is to have it where Angel can claim a victory over Disney. And the question is, does Disney even care? I don't think they do. It's not like that. Like if Zootopia 2 comes out and it doesn't do $80 million in its opening weekend, is it going to be like, oh boy, they're floundering? Not really. Because the thing is, too, if this movie does make $50, $40 million in its opening weekend, it's going to be an inflated number because they're going to do the Pay It Forward campaign. So the difference with that is, it's not like when you do back-to-back weeks of the same genre, and I've talked about this before, giving a movie a bad date because you have another similar genre movie in a similar time frame. It is, people have limited finite financial resources to see these movies. So if they've seen one, they may not see the second because, like, well, we saw one already. You know, we're not going to go in consecutive weeks. Not everyone's me who's going to the movies one to two times a week to go and cover it for content. So that's the thing that's going to help it. But, and at the end of the day, does Disney even care? Because it's so transparent what they're doing. It's like, okay, so congratulations, you astroturfed your way to a box office victory. Doesn't matter. And I think too, it's like, they're going to hold that money till week two. So this movie gets good word of mouth and then it's going to open in a weird place, which could potentially leave that weekend in November with a very strong box office, for the entire, you know, industry. With that, Zootopia 2, and then Wicked Part 2, assuming Wicked Part 1 does well enough to warrant Wicked Part 2 coming out immediately. Which brings us to number 5, Warner Brothers. I think my biggest issue with Warner Brothers and why I have them so low is because they didn't move the needle a ton when it came to showing off their new content. We knew Joker Folie à Deux was coming, and we talked about the trailer for that. We knew Furiosa was coming. We knew Beetlejuice was coming. We know that Superman, the documentary about Christopher Reeves, is coming to theaters later this year. But that's a Sundance documentary. It doesn't matter what the topic is. It's not going to be a huge boost for their box office. The only thing Warner Brothers did that was kind of interesting was confirm that Mickey 17 is still coming out. And they confirmed the date of January 31st, which is great because it didn't get canceled for a tax write-off, which is a concern I had. Considering I was very interested to see Bong Joon-ho's new movie. They didn't do a ton to move the needle. Which is especially a problem when you take into consideration there is a Lord of the Rings animated movie coming out later this year we haven't heard anything about. But I digress. See, the issue at Warner Bros., they didn't bring enough to talk about. Number four, Lionsgate. Lionsgate brought a lot, and it shows they're in this weird rebuilding phase. It's kind of like, you know, Lionsgate's in a position where it's like, after you win a championship in a sporting event, and all your good players leave, or all your good players retire, and then you're stuck in this rebuilding phase, the difference is they never really had the big championship to be in the rebuilding phase, so now they're just stuck in the rebuilding phase. They have their upcoming biopic about Michael Jackson, which is going to do well. They have the new John Wick movie, John Wick Presents Ballerina, both coming out next year. This year they have The Crow, and they have Borderlands, which may not do fantastic for them, but those are coming. They have a faith-based film. The issue is, I don't see, besides John Wick, I don't see franchise potential from any of the movies they really talked about. I don't think The Crow is something that you're going to have multiple entries of over and over and over again. I think tonally it's too similar to John Wick. And you can't have those two bump into each other a little bit, especially coming from the same studio. Borderlands, I have very little confidence that that movie will be good, let alone, you know, warranting a sequel. And again, biopic. If you can make a good biopic, will you put budget into making another one? Yes. And then the question is, at what point do you stop making money on them? At what point does it fall off? What I wanted to see was them talk about, and I wanted to see anyone talk about this. We live in a post-Dune Part 2 being the number one movie of the year so far era. I wanted to see someone come strapped with, here's the niche science fiction thing that we found a director who's passionate about. I want to see them work. Here's what they're working on. I want to see that. No studio really brought that. And I think it would have been interesting for Lionsgate, considering they have all of this extra space and this desire to build franchises. They could have been like, hey, we went to Becky Chambers. We optioned her series, Long Way to a Small Angry Planet. That's it. And we're working on Broken Earth, which I think Sony has that in development. We're working on Children of Blood and Bone, but that'd be Paramount. Like, we're optioning all this stuff. We're giving it a chance. Here's how it's going. Or Lionsgate already has The Hunger Games. And The Hunger Games, Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, did great for them last year. We're working on another Hunger Games movie. We don't know when it takes place. It's at some point there. We're working on that, though. So, you know, get ready. We're working with Suzanne Collins. We're working without Suzanne Collins. I don't care, because we're working on that. But that would have been something else that could have, you know, put them up higher. But they to talk about wanting to build franchises and then do what you did here, it feels a little bit like you're giving lip service there. Which brings us to our number three, which is Universal. Universal is so high because they held a screening of The Fall Guy, and The Fall Guy is doing very well in early, what's called in early screenings, which is promising for them. They announced a sequel to Five Nights at Freddy's, and they announced a release date for it. They showcased Despicable Me 4. They showcased Twisters. They gave more information about Lee Wannell's new Wolfman, which is going to be kind of like The Invisible Man. They're showing off The Wild Robot, which is the major release from DreamWorks this year that appears that it could be the best animated movie of the year coming out this year. And they showcased Wicked. My one concern with Universal and why it isn't marked higher is Wicked. Wicked is their biggest risk of the year. It's the biggest risk of any studio this year, I would say, considering the state of musicals. In the Heights did not do well. La La Land at the box office did not do great. I mean, it did great compared to its budget, but it didn't bring in a ton of money. What else have we got? Like, Wish was an animated musical last year, didn't do great. Encanto, you know, didn't do fantastic by Disney standards. Mean Girls did not set the world on fire. It's, you know, musicals are a risky endeavor right now. So I don't know how well this is going to work for them. It'll be interesting to see how it actually plays out when this comes out in theaters. And that's the only reason why they're not higher. Number two, we have Paramount. And Paramount is only in second place because a lot of the things they announced are not things they could have shown us. They showed us Sonic 3. They showed us Gladiator 2. They showed us Transformers 1. They showed some stuff from some of the more, you know, more recent stuff, like A Quiet Place Day One. But those three are the big ones coming down the line. Transformers 1 sounds like an interesting origin story with Optimus Prime and Megatron. Sonic 3, Looks like they're going to make a big rising partnership between Eggman and Sonic, which is, you know, going to be cool. And I think Gladiator 2 is going to be an Oscar contender, which I said that about Napoleon last year, but we'll see. I mean, in recent history, Ridley Scott has not had great track record with his period pieces. But we'll see if this one can break that trend. They did also announce a lot of other movies that were in development, but with no clear timeline of when they're coming. They're making a Last Ronin movie, an R-rated animated Last Ronin movie from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. A new scary movie. A new Transformers G.I. Joe crossover. A new origin movie for Star Trek. A remake of The Running Man from Edgar Wright. A remake of The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson. A sequel to Mutant Mayhem and the Avatar The Last Airbender movie. And the new SpongeBob movie coming next year. That's a lot to talk about and a lot to put into one show to show us nothing from them. Which I think is a little bit of a problem. You want to present the best foot forward. And I think that just talking about all these things you have coming down the line is not a great thing. And number one is Disney. Disney came to play. They understood the assignment. Up until now in 2023, in 2024, wow, it is 2024, they have not had a major release. Their last two major releases were bombs. Because that was Wish and the Marvels. They showcased Deadpool and Wolverine. They showcased Brave New World, a new Captain America movie. They showcased Thunderbolts. They showcased Planet of the Apes, Kingdom of Planet of the Apes. They showcased a half hour of Inside Out 2. They showcased Moana 2. They showcased Alien Romulus. They showcased Mufasa the Lion King. They went through their entire slate for this year and then into next year. They have uncertainty around their slate in the inverse way that Paramount does, because after next year, I have very little sense of what goes on beyond 2025 with Disney. Allegedly, Avatar is coming out next year. Avatar 3. Fantastic Four is coming out next year. Allegedly, Blade. I don't think Blade comes out. Blade probably gets delayed. Because they didn't even talk about it in 2026. And then, allegedly, there's an Avengers movie we're almost 2 years out from that they don't have a script. They don't have a director, I don't think. And they haven't started filming yet. They're still shooting Thunderbolts. They haven't even gotten into Kang Dynasty yet. We do have a new, what's it called, movie? A new Star Wars movie coming in 2026. But, again, if the biggest criticism is that they didn't do anything to assuage the issue of what's coming 2 years down the line, that's the strongest presentation we had. So, that's what we got in terms of major announcements at CinemaCon. And the description of some of the footage sounded great for a lot of these movies. So I'm interested to see all of these, and you know, we'll talk about them on Beware of Spoilers as they come out. Now, this year will be the 77th annual Cannes International Film Festival, which is in Cannes in France. There were a number of notable high-profile movies that are going to be debuting at Cannes. The Apprentice from Ali Abazi, which is about the ascent of Donald Trump under the mentorship of Roy Cohn. Megalopolis, which is Francis Ford Coppola's new star-studded movie, which is a massive sci-fi epic about a major city that's destroyed in an accident and the warring factions within that want to rebuild it. Cronenberg's new movie, The Shrouds, about a man who develops a device to communicate with the dead. Kinds of Kindness, which is Yorgos Lanthimos' new movie, which I'm proud of myself being able to spell Yorgos Lanthimos without having to consult Google on it. It's an anthology film that's a triptych of stories that interconnect with each other. I didn't write the full synopsis down, but this movie was shot during post on Poor Things, so a lot of the cast does carry over, like Willem Dafoe, Margaret Qualley, Emma Stone, a few others. Paul Schrader's new movie, O Canada, about a Canadian-American writer on the brink of death who fled to Canada to avoid the Vietnam War draft. Parthenope, which is directed by Paolo Sorrentino, which he's the director who directed Hand of God, which was Italy's selection for Best International Feature in 2022, and then got the Oscar nomination for that. It's about a woman named Parthenope who is a siren, who is not a siren or a myth like her namesake, which could be interesting. Furiosa will be debuting, which is, that's one of the ones that is out of competition. This is the, you know, prequel movie about Furiosa. We've been talking about this for you know, as long as these podcasts have been going on. We're nearing 10 years now. We've been talking about this movie. Rumors, which is directed by Guy Madden, Evan Johnson, and Galen Johnson. This is a comedy about the world leaders at the G7 who get lost in the world in the woods while trying to put together a press release. And finally, Horizon, American Saga, which is Kevin Costner's big budget Western film that's being released in two parts over the summer by Warner Brothers. And on that note, we'll wrap up there for today. And until our next episode, which will be next week, we'll talk about any news that drops in the next week, which I feel like will be in a little bit of a lull, and we'll also be talking about our new segment where we do Spider-Man, discussing the Spider-Man movies and ranking them against each other. Until then, have a great rest of your week.